It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, man, it is a beautiful, beautiful day. Nice ride in. Donson Pike was clear today. It made me feel good. That sets the tone for my entire day because the construction over there is a little bit chaotic. So it's good, man. Feeling good. It's beautiful out. Sounds are back in town. MTSU beat Vanderbilt last night in baseball.
Yeah, how about that?
What a night, man.
Nice win for the Blue Raiders.
Of course, Vandy fans came at me and said, we'll be playing in June. You won't be. I said, you know what? I live in the present. You got beat last night. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, take the L and move on.
Right.
It's just kind of how.
We know how this plays out.
Because you know what Corbin's saying to his guys? Like, hey, that was a lesson that we're learning today. He's using that, so.
Let us just have our moment. I'm not asking a lot.
No.
That's it.
Yeah.
So good for them. So it's a good day. It's a beautiful day, beautiful night, everything else. The draft is here. Man.
The draft is here. We heard from the contingent yesterday of Mike Borgonzi. I'm sorry, Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi, and then Brian Callahan, the head coach. Not a whole lot said, but what was interesting is they pretty much said, you can quit calling now. We're picking at one.
Yeah,
we'll find
right?
out on Thursday who it is, even though everybody knows who it is. They basically told you without telling you who
they
it was.
Doubled down on that. So that's so you well, get your
but
first pick.
But before you get the question out there, let me ask you this. Isn't that kind of what you – whether you agree or disagree with the pick, isn't that what you want, though? Don't you want them to come out and basically like, okay, yeah, they know what they're doing?
What's the alternative? Like, we don't have a clue.
I mean,
we'll know tomorrow.
But they've said stuff like that before of like, oh, you know, wait and see, or we're still taking calls or stuff like that. But the fact that, I mean, there is a definitive, like the Cam Ward jersey's probably already made. Like it, I mean, I, you know, again, whether it turns out to be right or wrong, and I'm pulling for him. I want this to be right. I hope he comes in here and balls out and wins three MVPs and three Super Bowls. And, you know, we're just sitting here going, like, well, we missed that one. I mean, he's the next one. But, you know, I mean, odds are that's probably not going to be the case. But I hope it is.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fantastic.
Well, you know, only time will tell. I mean, first game, this first season, everything that goes on, what happens. And, man, we're going to be scrutinizing him every step of the way. But that's what you do with the number one pick right there. But I think they'll quit calling us. No, I don't think. I think they'll call him up to the last second. I think they'll still call them and say, hey, other teams, what about this? What about that? But if not, they'll stick at one. But I agree with what you said yesterday, man. After they pick the second round on Friday, they don't pick again for a while. And somehow, if they can get back in, get another third rounder somehow, some way, as we talked about yesterday, how the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounders are usually not very good and don't really help your football team, then I'm on board. If they get four picks in the first 120, that would be okay. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody would be fine with that.
All right, here we go. I got this. We need your help today. Our listening audience, you guys are great. Chase doesn't know this. Dr. Crane doesn't know this. It's our question of the day. It's at the propus right now. It's the appropriate time to do this.
I thought you were, like, speaking, you know, Latin or something.
Yeah, I was. Apropos. I was trying to, yes.
Right now is.
So, Chase McCabe, I'll ask you, then 615-737-1025. Everybody could call in or weigh in. Who is the best, Chase McCabe, who is the best fictional football player of all time? If you could draft the number one fictional football player of all time, who do you draft?
Wow.
All the movies and TV
greatest
shows.
Greatest fictional football player of all time.
There's going to be one that's an overwhelming favorite, and there's going to be others who kind of fill in. But there's one I think will be
now.
The
let's
greatest fictional football player of all time.
Let me clarify a few things. Movies, like, remember the Titans is based on a true story, so they're not considered fictional.
Fact.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So anyone from that movie is not in this question.
Yes. Dr. Crane,
I need a second to think about this.
All right, Dr. Crane, you got one?
Yeah, hands down, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. I mean, that's the water boy, right?
Look, he is the Brian Urlacher of of movies. This guy, he doesn't like water. It's Gatorade. I mean, no, but he loves water. It's Gatorade.
High quality H2O.
Bingo.
Well, we have John McClane later on. John McClane was in a
he's not fictional
fictional football movie. So we'll ask John this as well. But you got time. I got a list of the top 10 that I found. So to go out there. Anyone come to mind? But weigh in.
I mean, I was probably going to say Bobby Boucher, but
we probably should have prefaced like you can't say Bobby Boucher. Yeah. This is somebody else.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. There's so many.
My avatar on Twitter isn't the greatest fictional football player of all time.
It's from the original
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Paul Crewe, Burt Reynolds, to me is the greatest fictional football player with probably the greatest fictional football movie of all time. But there's more. I mean, there could just go on and on and on. I figure it's with the draft tomorrow night, you could call in and say who's you would pick number one, fictional football player of all time.
I'll go Willie Beeman.
It's a good one.
From Any Given Sunday.
It's a really good one.
I'll do that to be different.
You're going to go with him all the way.
All right, I'll go with him.
Will you take offers for the trade out of that pick?
Yeah, I'll trade, yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe has come up with this question because clearly he's like the rest of us and tired of talking about the draft.
I don't mind talking about it. I think it's great. But there's a few that go with it as well. So, you know, just have some fun with it. I think if you could bring out a North Dallas 40 quote with Mac Davis' character, Seth Maxwell or Nick Nolte, his character in Philip Elliott, that's also good too as well. So there's a lot of good fictional football movies that we've forgotten about, and North Dallas 40 is one of those.
Let's see. Wayne from Spring Hill says Shane Falco. Jordan Nashville says Bobby Boucher.
Shane Falco.
Brennan from Nashville, Rudy. But Rudy's based on
Rudy's real.
Yeah, Rudy's real. 3337 Cheeseburger Eddie. I don't know that one
either.
From Longest Yard, Cheeseburger Eddie.
Oh, okay.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It ain't easy being cheesy.
Yeah, okay. I remember that now. Austin says Booby Miles. That was
Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights, yeah. Bobby said, or Caleb says, if you want to win, put Bobby in.
That Bobby Boucher?
Or yeah. I think he's talking about Booby
oh,
Miles.
Booby, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we have a leader of the club. Lenny says, best fictional football player, Isaiah Wilson.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's great.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's a keeper because there's one that we're leaving out that just came to me.
Matt says, Matt and Wes both say Forrest Gump.
Great one. That is such a great one.
Yep.
Good kickoff returner.
5122, Falco. Dylan says Donovan McNabb being impersonated by Elvin from The Cosby Show and Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's a very funny episode, yes. A
lot of votes for Shane Falco. Mike. See, Mike, I'm going to need you to know character names. He goes Keanu Reeves in the movie The Replacements, Adam Sandler where he's in prison playing football. Come on, man.
The Replacements is a good movie. Gene Hackman's in that.
So Sandler and Burt Reynolds played the same guy.
Basically.
Yeah.
Paul Crewe.
Yeah. Best. This is a good one. 413. Is this the one you were waiting on, maybe? Nate says, best fictional football player, Nelson Muntz.
No.
Jamie Foxx in Any Given Sunday was that's a good one. Another for Forrest Gump.
I can't believe nobody's got this one yet.
Colin says Paul Blake from the Texas State Armadillos. Shane Falco. Mean Machine. Jackson.
I am stunned. Nobody has this.
A lot of Forrest Gump. And then, of course, the one person that says, well, Forrest Gump isn't really a football movie. David in Portland. Vontae Mack. Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
Right.
Yeah. Rod Tidwell.
There we go.
From Mount Juliet.
Finally. Thank you.
Show me the money.
Rod Tidwell. Yes. The number two on my list. Paul Crewe, then Rod Tidwell. I mean, how long do we still quote that movie today, Jerry Maguire. Mm-hmm. We still quote it today. Such a good movie.
Charles Jefferson, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. And Spicoli took his little brother out and they wrecked the car. Yeah.
People are saying Booby Miles is a real person. I think that he might be. We'll have to fact check that. Keith says Uncle Rico. Fran from Nashville, the icebox from Little Giants. That's a good one.
Confirmed Booby Miles is real.
Okay. Booby Miles is off the board then.
And he's been sentenced to 13 years in prison recently. Oops.
Mox and Billy Bob in Varsity Blues.
Good one.
Another for Willie Beeman. These are blowing up, by the way. I'm going back to the 70s. Kurt Russell and the World's Greatest Athlete. He threw the ball, then ran down the field and caught it. It's kind of like Mr. Perfect.
That is Mr. Perfect.
Paul Blake. Oh, this. Okay. Can I change my answer?
Yeah.
I'm going to 7949. Very good. Al Bundy, 5 touchdowns, 1 game. Paul Kai.
That's right.
I think that Justin, who called it, I think that was his answer.
You know, it's funny, in real life, Ed O'Neill actually was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Was he?
Yeah.
A couple of votes for Alvin Mack from the program.
That's a good one.
I don't know, Tom Riggins. Let's see. Blue Mountain State.
For those who remember, the program was filmed at halftime in 1992 of the Tennessee-South Carolina game in Columbia. So if you look, there's a lot of orange in the stands. As you can tell, it was filmed at halftime of that game.
615-737-1025. Our question of the day, the greatest fictional football player of all time. This is in honor of the draft and kind of changing it up a little bit. But that is our question of the day. Coming up next, John McClain at the bottom of the hour, but coming up next, you'll hear a little bit of what the – I'm going to call them the contingent, the two-tone contingent.
I like that.
You like that? We should get an official – the two-tone – the following is an announcement from the two-tone contingent. You know, we could do something like that. It could be fun. You'll hear from those guys. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The following is an announcement from the two-tone contingent.
How important do you think, like for you, Mike, having been in Kansas City, Andy Reid's been there forever, mm-hmm. but how important is that stability to being able to develop a quarterback and set him up for success?
I think it's very important. Just having that environment and stability around him. Coaches, front office, I've seen it done before. So I think that's a vital process. A part of the process is to have, that environment and stability for that player. I saw it, with Andy, with Patrick and saw how that worked. And same thing with Brian, with Joe. So I think that's a big part of it.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. That was Mike Borgonzi, part of the Titans, the two-tone contingent that spoke yesterday talking about stability. I mean, because we've sat here, and you can keep answering our question of the day, which is who's the best fictional football player of all time. We've sat here, Joe, and talked about if you're going to draft the quarterback number one overall, that you need to basically also say, hey, we're building around him, we're rebuilding around him, but we're sticking with Brian Callahan, because it would be to the detriment of the quarterback to fire the coach either in the first year or after the first year.
I would never, ever say that. You know why? Because when you fire him at that press conference, you got Paul and Teron and Rex Road and everybody else. Well, you said, no, you don't need to know that. I'm not telling you anything. But I think behind the scenes, there needs to be we need to understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
I look at them and I don't see this bond. Maybe I'm a big body language guy. When I look at Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan all together, I don't see the crew from The Hangover. I don't see that just admiration. And maybe that's something weird and different, but I just think if I'm Callahan, oh my gosh, here we go again. And I'd be mad at Will Levis, because if Will Levis was any good last year, you would not be worried about what's going to happen tomorrow night.
This was Brian Callahan when he was asked if there's added pressure to make sure that the pick goes right.
Is there added pressure or responsibility that you feel to develop and make sure this thing goes right, and why or why not?
Oh, no, not no added pressure. I think the old adage is, you know, pressure is a bit of a privilege. You get a chance to work with a great player when you pick him at the top of the draft. So happens to be a quarterback, then that doesn't change anything for me, how I go about my job, what I do on a day-to-day basis, what I believe about the development of the position. None of that changes. It's exciting. It's what you hope for. I mean, it's what you want as a coach, is you want those type of players on your roster. You want to coach them. You want to be a part of that journey. I've been fortunate to be a part of a few of them. It's exciting. And so there's nothing added to what already is the job. You know, that's just part of it. And I'm fully aware of the expectation that comes along with that, and I embrace it. I'm excited for that to happen.
That was Brian Callahan on the added pressures of developing the young quarterback. It's funny. You kind of laughed. I kind of laughed. It's exciting, you know, saying that. I do get the sense, though, he really is excited to do this because, you know, it's his pick. He's a part of, whether, you know, he has a say in it or not, I don't know, but he's in the room. And so, you know, he didn't pick Levis. This is the first overall pick. He's been a part of developing young quarterbacks before. So I do get a sense that he's excited to get to work with this young man.
Again, last year was a disaster. Now you're picking one. Now you got to make it happen. And if they truly believe that Cam Ward is their guy, and they said so yesterday, then go for it. They actually didn't say it without saying it, but we all know that. But now earn your money. Earn your money now. Go out there and see what you can do and hope for the best and what goes on, man. But when you don't have much around you and you're trying to work this out, you know, you just hope to be successful. I remember when Aikman in 89 with the Cowboys, they were terrible. But Aikman had one thing with him, Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
So they formed a great bond and they built from there. I don't know. Is Cam and Ridley on the same page? I mean, I don't know. We'll find out.
It took forever for Ridley to get on the same page with Levis.
It did.
I mean, he thought he was going to have to go play for the other team to get on the same page. But, you know,
mark that down. That's a good one.
Took a minute.
But, yes.
But it's a great question, and that's why I also want to see them hopefully get a receiver that they come in together and, you know, kind of get on the same page. I mean, to a different extent, but Chris has talked about that he had that bond with Steve McNair because they came in at the same time. They were the same draft class. They were rookies together. They went through a lot of that stuff together, and that helped them bond and get on the same page. I'm hoping that happens with a guy that they take, you know, in the second or third round, and then Cam Ward.
So I'm looking at the Cowboys 89 draft. They took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 4. They had 15 players drafted. Aikman, Steve Wisniewski, who they traded to the Raiders immediately, Moose, Johnston, Mark Stepnowski, Tony Tolbert played. After that, Chaser, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys did not make an impact on that football team. So we go back to the thing. Cam Ward's got to make an impact, and that second rounder, as you talked about, has to make an immediate impact on this football team going forward. And so
– yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see Cowboys 1-15 in 89, but they built, and they got Emmitt the next year and moved on and on, but they had their quarterback, and that's the thing. Maybe that's what they want. We got our quarterback, now we build elsewhere. If that's the plan, I'm on board.
What's interesting, and Nick, I know we're kind of throwing a lot of things at you, but Mike Borgonzi was asked yesterday, and I'll give you a second to get it, was asked about what's more important, just having a ton of picks or – having those picks in the top 100, because I think that's the goal. Because when you pick in the top 100, those are the guys that are expected to make an impact right away to help you. Now, some are going to develop a little, you know, slower than others, but you know, those first, second, third round guys are what you really need to contribute. This was Borgonzi on that.
Well, I think just having a strategy, and that's really what we've been doing here the last week or so, just working the board horizontally and just seeing the value of each position group. And I think that's how you have to base the decision on. You know, if there's a player there at a certain spot and we think it's the best value for us, you know, we're going to take that player. But if we deem there's a cluster of players on that board that we kind of have the same value on, then maybe we move back and pick up a pick. But I think it really depends on how the board falls, but really the preparation we've put in the last couple of weeks just working the board horizontally and just seeing where the value lies at certain pockets of the board will come into play there.
Now, look, I like the answer of listening to the board, and, you know, because that's what Floyd used to always preach, that you listen to your board. You have your draft board. You put it together before the draft, and you go by the board. The board tells you what you're going to do, essentially. If you have guys that, you know, if you get to your pick and guys that you valued at that pick aren't there, then you start making phone calls. So, but, you know, so I agree with that. Like, if there is a guy at 35, we know they're picking at one. If there's a guy at 35 that they just absolutely love, then you make the pick and you figure the rest out later. If there isn't, then I think you are in a situation where you could move out of 35, move back in the second round, and also add picks probably on that same night.
Well, you got to get it right. That's
sure,
the thing.
You got to get it right.
You got to get it. Whoever you take, you got to get it perfect. They've got to come in and start on day one. This football team cannot have a second rounder sitting on the pine, much less a first rounder on the pine. I'm all for throwing them to the fire, man. You learn by making mistakes. Will Levis, I mean, did he get better? Probably a little bit. Kept making the same mistakes. You hope he wouldn't make those mistakes, but he did over and over again. Hopefully Cam Ward doesn't make those same mistakes, and he improves. He gets better. He goes on and on and on and on. It's just, you got to hit a home run, man. If you don't, what is it? We look at this. Young in 06, Locker in 11, Mariota in 15. So there's, you put your team back a minimum 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get this pick correct.
So I was pulling clips yesterday to make the draft night in Nashville open, and I was laughing because I went and found the commissioners, both Tagliabue and Goodell, announcing the first round picks of the Titans. And like, I just, some of those I would hear just go, oof. I did put Vince Young in the good group, though, because, I mean, you know, it was okay.
Well, at the time, he's coming off the greatest single right. college performance of all time. Nothing came close to that. And here, it didn't
work. That reminds me, too, and I'll get with Nick on pulling this clip, but Jared asked Trevor a question yesterday that I almost ran off the road because I was like, I gotta pull this to ask JoJo later.
He asked him if he's single?
No. I will tell you. I'll play it for you after John McClain. But coming up next, we talk to the great John McClain. Cam wants to answer our question of the day real quick. Cam, go ahead. Cam.
Hi.
What's up, Cam?
It's me?
Yeah, it's you, buddy.
Yeah, it's you. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. All right. Tommy Matthews from the movie Good News, MGM. Tommy Matthews, greatest all-time fictional player. The whole movie was based on getting him eligible to play football. Tommy Matthews, played by Peter Lawford, believe it or not.
Tommy Matthews. What's the name of the movie?
Good News.
I'm looking it up right now.
Cool. Thank you.
Good News. Tommy Matthews. Peter Lawford. Okay.
Got it.
Very
pal.
Good. Thank you. There you go. Our question of the day. There's a ton on the text line we'll get to. We'll even ask John McClain.
Yeah.
He joins us coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's Chase and Big Joe. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Finally, Thursday night, the NFL draft will happen in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We say hello to John McClain, who joins us now. John, how many drafts did you attend in your career?
Well, let's see. I think it was close to 15.
That's a pretty good number. I'm still, I got one.
I haven't been since 2014 when Devion Clowney was the first overall pick. And once it left New York, and did it go to Chicago first?
Yeah.
I think my friends told me it was a cluster, you know what, as far as access and getting around. Now, they worked a lot of those problems out, but once I heard that, I didn't want to go anymore. And, I was thinking the other day, somebody asked me what was the strangest thing that ever happened to me that on a draft day. And I told him, I think it was 13 when Johnny Manziel came out. A lot of people were thinking the Texans might take him. That was national people and Aggies hoping and national people saying, well, he's up the road, Heisman winner. And I said, if the Texans draft a quarterback, this is on the NFL Network, I'll eat the Chronicles sports section. So I was in New York, and I can't even remember who they drafted in 13, but they drafted a quarterback in a lower round. So they held me to it. And so what I did was I called my doctor, and he said, don't you even think about eating all that paper. It'll screw up your intestine. He said, why don't you just turn it in strips and do it slowly? So that's what I did. I came back to Houston after the first round, and our photographer sat at a table and had a plate of food, and I stripped the sports section. It looked like I was going to eat each strip separately. And I think I put barbecue and sauce on the first strip and ate it. And then he shot the picture. So it looked like I was going to eat the whole thing, but I never did. And it wasn't that bad because the barbecue was so good.
That's awesome.
All right, John, we have a question today because of the draft. We're asking the greatest fictional football player of all time. We know that you were in the remake of The Longest Yard, but if you had to pick the greatest fictional football player of all time, who would John McClain take?
Oh, gosh, Joe, I wish sometime you would text me these questions because I've been doing this for so long. I would have to, since I was in The Longest Yard, I will say it was, can't even remember who Adam Sandler's character
Paul
was.
Paul Crewe,
says Paul Crewe. And today, Paul Crewe, you know, he was suspended for gambling. And today, you know, he wouldn't get a career suspension. He'd get a little one. But he was a great player with a great-looking girlfriend, with a great car, and he had everything going for him till he decided to take a ride and get arrested by Dan Patrick. And that was a fun movie to shoot. It was a fun movie to go to the premiere. And I've got to so I would have to say Paul Crewe, but I'm sure if I thought about it, I'd probably think about somebody else.
Yeah, it's been a fun question on our text. We got all kind of answers, responses. I just thought we would hearing what you had to say about this. John, the Titans brass met yesterday, and they pretty much said, we're taking Cam Ward with number one. You can stop calling.
Shocking.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
You can stop calling and talking about that. So, I mean, it's set in stone, so there's nothing. Nobody can make a lot, at least in your view, nobody can make a last second. I'm going to give you nine players, all that. I mean, they're good to go, right?
I've been telling you guys for months they're taking Cam Ward. And no matter, I remember when Pagansi said we wouldn't pass up a generational player, and all the national media said they're going to take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter is not a generational pass rusher, and Travis Hunter is the only generational player in this draft. But history said, and I have kept up with Cam Ward's career since he came out of high school close to Houston, and how much he had improved every year and what kind of guy he was and where he came from. So that's why I knew it was going to be him. And they'll make him delay the suspense if there is any. I don't know why they won't just let him go ahead and make the pick and then go ahead and get all your commercials in there. Only thing I know about this draft, and this, we make jokes about this. There's two things about the Houston Texans you can take to the bank. Number one, in the playoffs, they'll be in the early Saturday game, the worst time slot. And before every draft choice, there'll be a commercial. Sometimes they don't have commercials between picks, but every time the Texans pick, there will be a commercial.
John, this was Jimmy Wyatt actually asked the question, who works for the team now, to Mike Borgonzi. This is how he answered it.
2 days out, is it safe to say you know who you're picking at one? And if so, what would it take to maybe change your mind at this point?
Yeah, no, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
So there you go. They're keeping the suspense going for you.
No, yeah, that's so suspenseful.
So I think the one that everybody's now wondering about is what they're going to do at 35, their second-round pick. You know, is that the one where maybe there's some movement? Because if you look at mock drafts and you read the so-called experts and what they say, that you know, the second and third round is where you could see a ton of movement. So, it, you know, and they were asked about it. They basically said, look, if there's a player that we have on our board that we really, really like, then we're going to take him at that pick. But if maybe there are a handful of players that kind of – you know, are graded the same, then we might try and move back and add picks. Is that just, you know, and I hear Floyd's voice in my head saying, listen to the board, listen to the board. So could you see some movement, you know, for whether it's the Titans, the Texans, anybody in that second round?
Well, you could see, I think we'll get a lot of movement in the bottom of the first round, and you could see it in any round. I know Nick Caserio, the Texans GM, he makes multiple trades every year. And one of the things, you can't believe a thing any general manager or coach says before the draft. You can't believe most of the mock drafts because they don't have a clue. Teams are not telling these people who say an unnamed AFC scout told me they're going to take so-and-so. They don't know that. And the closest thing I have ever seen, and I know where he had to have gotten it, 2 years ago, Daniel Jeremiah said before the draft, the Texans are going to take C.J. Stroud, which we all knew. And then there's a good chance they're going to trade back up and get defensive end Will Anderson Jr. And like, whoa, how could they do that? And that's exactly what they did. And to me, that could only have come from one person, and that was a general manager, Nick Caserio. He'd never admit it. Daniel would never admit it. But that was one of the great pre-draft predictions I have ever seen. And unless the guy doing the drafting tells you something, you know, you don't know. Charlie Casserly, the GM of the Texans in 03, called me. He knew I did my last mock draft on the morning of the draft, and he called me the day before and said, who you got is taken? And I said, well, I'm sticking with Andre Johnson, but if Charles Rogers, he said, we're not taking Charles Rogers. That guy's got too much baggage. You stick with Andre Johnson. Now, you think guys would do that anymore? Those old-time GMs, they work closely with the beat guys. Beat guys are not as important as they used to be because you have so many national publications and teams have such good websites with people like Jim Wyatt working for them. And so those good old days are gone. And if they're going to leak something today, they do it with the national media, and which is one of the reasons I retired from the Houston Chronicle. I got so tired of that, but it's the way of the sports world now. And you guys would know more than me. If you got a rookie quarterback, you got to do everything you can for him. So if Bill Callahan has the offensive line the way he wants it, and he should, considering the last two drafts, then what do they work on? Do they try to get a tight end? Do they get another receiver? It looks from afar like they need more skill position players to help Cam Ward. Defense would be great, but that doesn't really help Cam Ward, and that's got to be first and foremost. So what do you guys think they'll do in the second round?
I think if a receiver's there, they'll take a receiver. I think if an edge rusher's there too, like a guy that they've graded that's going to, you know, be a game changer, then I think they would do that. Otherwise, I think they move back. That's what I think.
So,
I'm all for trade. I want chaos, John. I want somebody to make them an offer that they build around something besides a quarterback because there's so many holes, but I think they'll end up taking Cam Ward and still we'll be doing the same position a year from now.
I do think, and John, we'll step away for a second and then I'll get your thoughts on this. I do think there's a move they need to make to help Cam Ward to go get a veteran player. And I'll text you during the break so you can think about it. But we'll talk about that coming up next. He's John McClain. We'll have more with him next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. He's brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. Check them out, maplestreetbiscuits.com. Excited to have them on board. All right, John, I texted you the player during the break. George Kittle reportedly has not made a trade request, but he's in the final year of his contract. Diana Russini reported from The Athletic that no trade request has been made, but other teams are keeping an eye on things. I saw a rumor, and I'll say it's just that, you know, the Titans were certainly a place he'd be interested in. He does live here during the offseason. He's at Predator games all the time. I think the best thing you can do for a rookie quarterback is get them a good tight end. I know George Kittle is, you know, later in his career, But I think if they could figure out how to get him to Nashville, that would be a really good thing for the young quarterback to have. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I disagree because of the money. You know, he wants a new contract for a lot of money. I'm not sure. Is he 30 yet? I can't remember. You know, he's a hell of a player, and he's as good a blocking tight end as there is in the league. He comes from a winning organization. But by the time Cam Ward's going to be and the team would be improved, he'd be like 33. It doesn't mean he still can't play. But, you know, if they made him available for a fourth or fifth round pick, sure. But I don't think they're going to do that because he's been such a big part of that organization. But they had so many financial difficulties. They're having to make a lot of tough decisions on veteran players, and maybe they just might go ahead and trade him. If they're going to do it and it's a good deal and the Titans can work it out, sure, why not? But I certainly wouldn't trade a first, second, or third round pick for a tight end that age.
John, we were talking yesterday, Chase and I, about how important it is to hit on the first, second, third rounders, guys, because after that, we went through a bunch of teams. I mean, and once you get a fourth rounder through seven, if they contribute anything, it's a success. In your time covering the Texans, when they hit on fourth rounders, they hit on them. Ben Jones and Ryan Griffin and Sherrod McManus, I mean, Grover Quinn, these guys, they hit on those. How important is it, John, to hit on that fourth or fifth rounder to contribute? Because oftentimes, and I'm looking at like 75-80%, these guys do nothing.
The longtime Oilers personnel director and then general manager, Mike Olivak, Mike told me one time, he said, any general manager should be able to draft in the first, second, third rounds. Now, the draft at this time, I think, was eight rounds, like Blaine Bishop was an eighth-round pick out of Ball State in 93. And at times, the draft was 16 rounds, 24 rounds. So you think about where the middle rounds were. And he said the best general manager slash personnel experts, and back then every general manager had a personnel background. None of them had financial backgrounds like some of them do today. And he said that's where you got to make your mark. And so much of that is not just your knowledge of a prospect when you're watching him on tape. Is you've got to have a lot of sources. You've got, if you're talking about a kid you're going to take in the fourth or fifth round from Fresno State, you got to know the trainer, the equipment guys, the assistant coaches. You got to dig deep on prospects and find out and believe them, because a lot of them will just lie to you, and, oh, yeah, he's great. And he said when those guys hit so much, it's because of information you've learned about that player beyond what you see on tape. And if you see teams that are consistently good in that area, it's because they go the extra mile in scouting.
You know, John, we had Drew Bennett here in Nashville, was probably the greatest undrafted free agent. He, you know, made the team. He signed that massive contract with the Rams and fizzled out, but that was okay. Is there a Texans player undrafted who had that kind of impact of a Drew Bennett since the team started in 02?
Oh, boy, there might be. I hadn't thought about it. I'm sure there is a free agent. They've signed so many of them.
Right.
They've got a defensive tackle right now who's part of the rotation, Kurt Heinisch from Notre Dame, who was signed as an undrafted free agent. And I'm sure there are, but once again, Joe, you caught me off guard.
That's
running
right
through history. You know, I can tell you anything you want to know about this draft or last year's draft, but when it comes to history, you know, nobody jumps right out at me. And as soon as I get off with you guys, I'll probably think of a
right
couple.
Well, we talk about the, you know, how important the draft is, because a lot of people are like, well, I'll just build it through free agency. And we're looking like, you know, the Bills last year, 17 of their 22 starters were draft choices. So this, the draft is so important, I think, throughout the history, because that's your foundation. Then you plug in free agency. A lot of people now, John, think, well, you get a few guys in draft, then plug it in through free agency. And that's not the case. That's not going to work all the time.
Free agency is to supplement your roster that you've built through the draft. And one of the things that just bugs me every year when I see some unnamed general manager say, well, it's not a good draft. We only have first-round grades on like 12, 14 players. And I'm saying, well, then you're not doing your job, because the Hall of Fame is loaded with players who weren't drafted in the first round or the second round. And somebody that has that kind of attitude, it's almost defeatist. There are players out there that will be in the Hall of Fame, and you just got to find them, and then you got to develop them. And one of the problems with developing a player starts at the top. If you have an owner who is impatient and fires coaches or general managers, then you have new systems, you have new terminologies. I always feel terrible for quarterbacks when they come in highly rated by a lot of people, and then they don't work out, and it's the team's fault. It's not their fault. And so there will be, for a draft, people say, well, this is not as good a draft. I remember they've said that a lot, and I'm not going back through them all to see which ones there were, but there are players out there. There always are.
John, I want to ask you this before we let you go. Paul Kuharsky just put on his website, if Cam Ward wants to wear number one with the Titans, Warren Moon said he will consider it. Moon's number one is retired by the organization. He's in the Hall of Fame. That was Bud's rule, that if you got in the Hall of Fame, your number got retired. He says, quote, I'm thinking about it. I kind of think you should pick another number. But what do you think as somebody that knew Warren well?
Well, that number was so special because Warren was the number one. He wore it all the time. And it doesn't hurt to ask him. Cam Ward ought to call him personally and tell him, I'd be honored to wear your number, and I bet Warren would let him do it.
All right.
If it was somebody at another position, a wide receiver, no. But because Cam Ward's a quarterback, he's the first overall pick, I bet Warren would say, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would. I think a lot of Titans fans are kind of like, yeah, let him wear the number. But if somebody wanted to wear nine, I think there'd be more pushback because they remember him because he was here, you know. So I think that's where you kind of get into the Oilers Titans, you know, history a little bit. But I was just curious of your thoughts. John, thanks as always. Enjoy the draft, and we will break it all down next week.
I look forward to it. Everybody have a great time up there, and I hope the Titans do well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. MapleStreetBiscuits.com. Very glad to have them on board. Coming up next, we'll get back to our question of the day, which is, who is the best fictional football player of all time? A lot of you have weighed in on that. Plus, I heard a question by Jared Stillman to Trevor Maddich yesterday that I immediately was like, Joe Dubin needs to answer this as well. We'll do that next. Oh. It's Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.